Are you ready?
Yeah.
Episode two.
New beginnings.
That's what we're talking about. This was Amanda's idea today.
We'll see how it goes.
Yes. So before we get started, we just wanted to thank everybody for checking out our first podcast. We got some really positive feedback and a really decent amount of listens. So we're super optimistic about this whole thing, and we hope that you guys will stick with us for all the upcoming episodes as well.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely a few things we want to address. Like, even though I'm very shy, I wasn't actually as quiet as the other one made it seem. Just a little bit of technical difficulties.
Yes. We're still experiencing some technical difficulties. Yeah. I will be making some Amazon returns. I am not pleased with my product. But we're making do. We are being creative, putting our minds together. But
still in the closet, yes. Sharing a mic. You do what you gotta do.
We're sharing a mic. Mango is here for moral support, of course. But we apologize for the kind of shitty audio in the last episode. But most of you seem to be able to make it through the full thing and enjoy it. So that's good. But we promise from here on out, it will be better. I just touched my mic and I freaked out, but my mic's not even plugged in, so I'm good. Okay, so new beginnings. Amanda, what was your thought process when you picked this topic? What do you want to talk about?
I just think new beginnings are, it's such like a therapeutic thing. I feel like you moving out here is such a new beginning for you. As we mentioned before, Sarah moved to Vancouver Island in British Columbia.
Got here a week ago today.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Happy week anniversary.
Yes. We're still That's here. Awesome. We haven't gone back yet.
And just starting a podcast is a new beginning. I know it's something you've been wanting to do for a long time now. And for me, it's a huge new beginning because it Absolutely. Never even crossed my mind as
an
option.
And it takes you out of your comfort zone, too.
Big time. Mm-hmm. So, and there's just so many different ways a new beginning, like every school year in the fall, that's a new beginning. New Year's, the list goes on and on. I just think it's an interesting start.
Do you think we should specifically talk about big moves? Because with big moves comes new beginnings in every way. Like, I know I've personally moved to different countries a few times, so I could talk about international new beginnings, what it's like to experience, like, culture shock and meeting new friends. And I know you've lived on both coasts of Canada. Have you moved anywhere else? Yeah. Well, you moved in the middle of high school, so that would be an interesting thing to talk about.
Absolutely.
Because that was a big, fresh start for you.
Yeah, a huge new beginning that I didn't even want.
I know. So that's a good perspective.
Interesting.
But yes, one thing Amanda and I have in common is neither of us is afraid of change or to just go for things, take risks, see how things go. We don't really like to live in these little bubbles that are restrictive. We like to take life by the balls and make the most of it.
I think we both just learned that change is impossible to avoid and truly the only thing that's consistent in this whole world. So thankfully, we've learned how to welcome it.
Yeah, and support each other through it. It's really hard to go through things like a big move without support of other people. And just don't be afraid, I think, to ask for help or ask for advice. Or, I mean, obviously, Amanda is putting us up right now while we search for apartments and jobs. And without her, this whole thing would have been a lot more stressful. So just network and make use of what people you have in your corner, because it's hard. New beginnings are fun, but they're also difficult. So we can talk about both sides of the coin.
Absolutely. Can you tell us, Sarah, what kind of new beginning you were looking for when you moved to Northern Ireland?
Yeah. So I just knew that I wasn't meant to stay in the same city, the same town my whole life. I've known that from a very young age. I was always obsessed with obviously people from Northern Ireland or the UK understand, but it's complicated to say. I don't want to say Britain, but I also don't want to say Ireland. Mm-hmm, it's a complicated topic. We'll get into that on another day. But anyway, I was always
Europe.
Yes, Europe. Sure. I was always obsessed with European culture. Just everything from princesses to fairy tales to architecture to the boys' accents. I wanted it all. I thought it was so romantic compared to boring Canadian life. Obviously, I have, like, a love for Canada now, but whatever country you grow up in, you start to resent it a little bit because you've spent your whole life there. And it takes a little bit of maturity and aging to realize that you probably actually had a very amazing childhood and you shouldn't poo-poo all over it. But anyway, so Amanda and I went to the same university. But yes, I went to the same university in the town that I grew up in, so I didn't really make a big leap that way. And I was teaching at the same dance studio, and I was growing and I was learning, but I definitely needed to rip off the Band-Aid in terms of just throwing myself in the deep end and seeing if I could swim. So I applied for an exchange, and I got into Queen's University Belfast, which was my number one choice. So I was just pumped. I had heard really great things about the city and about the school, so I flew over there. I think I was not 19 or 20 at the time. It was my third year of university. And that was a great way, if I could give anyone advice in terms of moving internationally, doing it, like, whether it be with a volunteer program or a school exchange, doing it with a purpose and a structure is really helpful right off the bat. The second time I moved to Ireland, I just moved there with my own money, on my own volition.
Not a student.
I moved there as an adult, and I had rent to pay, and I had to get a job, and I had to figure out my visa and all of these things that I didn't have to deal with the first time because the university sort of delegates all of that. So, but I was more prepared for it because I'd already lived there and I already knew what culture shock was like, and I already was prepared to live in a different city.
At least you lived in that city. Yes. Previously, even though it was a very sheltered change experience.
Exactly, and it is. I mean, you move into a residence, mm-hmm. you have people looking after you, like educational advisors that you could go to if you had questions. And so it was freedom, and it was really great for self-exploration, but it was structured and it was safe. And I think that's a really great place to start, especially since I had never really traveled on my own or gone anywhere other than North America and Cuba. So yeah. I went ham, just traveled everywhere to every nook and cranny that I possibly could. And then I moved to Spain after for a few months. So that was another fresh start. And it was right off of a breakup, and I was pretty just raw and just distraught in every way, but I was like, if I'm going to be heartbroken and weeping, I'm going to do it in Spain. And I was a nanny there, and it was good. I was only there for 2.5 months or something, but that was way more difficult because they hardly spoke English. I didn't really have any friends there. It wasn't really a party scene, so I was just spent a lot of time on my own journaling or exercising, just trying not to fall into a pit of depression. So that was my first few times traveling abroad. And then when I graduated university, I moved back over, and this time it was the real deal. I was going to move over for 2 years. I had to go through all of the red tape and paperwork of visas and
bank accounts, cell phones.
Oh my gosh.
Jobs.
I was so naive, people. I did it. I survived. And I thrived, but I kid you not, maybe 6 panic attacks my first 2 weeks. And people were looking at me like, what are you doing here? Just go home. And I was like, but no. And I figured it out, and I was just resourceful, and I just took it one day at a time. But I do wish I was a little bit more prepared. Maybe if I just had a place to live lined up or a job lined up, but I just sort of went over there, guns blazing, like, I'll figure it out. So, I do have some regrets, I suppose, about the way I went about it, just because it took a pretty big hit on my mental health right off the bat. And that's not how you want to start a new beginning. Whereas this time, I'm a little older, I'm a little more mature, I have you, I have family here. So, the first week that we've been here has been really lovely and really productive and relaxing. And that's how you want to go into, ideally, that's kind of how you want to go into a new beginning, instead of feeling panicked and making decisions based out of stress. So I went over there just because I loved it. And that's really what your question was. And I went on a huge tangent, but I loved it. I wanted to keep traveling. I wanted to keep drinking pints in pubs with cute boys.
And you wanted a new beginning. Like you said, you were just done at that point with your small town that you grew up in. You wanted bigger, better things.
Yeah, when I moved home the first time to finish my degree, the story did not feel over. And that's what I kept telling people. I was like, this book is not closed. I have more. And now that I went back for a year and a half, and now I do have peace knowing that I truly finished that story there. And that's what I needed. I just knew the first time that I had to go back, and I followed that instinct, and it worked out really well for me in the end. So you just have to listen to your body. When you know you're ready for a fresh start, just go for it, because otherwise it's going to be nagging at you, just like a little whisper in your ear.
That's why you went for this one, your big move to BC.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, COVID really...
I don't want that nagging anymore.
COVID really amplified that nagging of just pure boredom. You are really...
Small town again.
You have a lot of extra time to just contemplate what you want to do with life, because maybe you're not working, or maybe you can't hang out with friends, so...
So true.
Yeah, we took a risk, but so far, so good. So tell me about... Your move when you were in high school. I'm curious to hear. Because I knew you, but we weren't close enough to really talk about emotions behind that.
Well, really interesting that you ask, because that it was a new beginning, that completely opposite of your experience. I basically rejected it so much. So I was 15 years old, never really had a... new beginning of any sort at that point in my life. Was just on autopilot, grew up with all the exact same friends, grew up in the same house, no changes. And then I was 15 and my parents divorced, and so I moved with my mom from Ottawa to Kingston. Mm-hmm. So that new beginning, I couldn't even look at it that way. It was more of just the most, at the time when I was 15, like, horrible end. So I couldn't even be excited for some sort of fresh start, since I didn't even want it. And it's just so funny looking back, like, how much experiences like that force you to grow, mm-hmm. even if you don't want it. But I went from Ottawa to Kingston, and again, like, didn't want anything to do with that new city. And I would go to school, high school, which is where Sarah and I met, mm-hmm. but because I just was truly denying this new beginning in every way, I was like, I'm not going to make any new friends. I'm just keeping my old same friends in Ottawa. I'm not, like, and if I do find friends, they're going to be the exact same as my Ottawa friends. Like, I just don't want any of this new life. And it sucked. It was so sad. I was so miserable. I literally would come home after school and bawl, because I just wanted... Yeah, I wanted nothing to do with the new life. And, of course, just as a 15-year-old, like, when your parents are divorcing...
You're,
like,
moody.
You're so moody. And just even if your parents aren't divorcing, you're moody. So I'm like, oh, man.
My parents were divorcing at 14, so I feel you.
Yeah. But then once I finally just matured a little, so sadly it took like a few years. It wasn't even until like 2 whole years in Kingston, which is so sad. But then I finally started finding appreciation in that new high school and that new town. And Kingston, for anyone who's never been there, is actually a gorgeous little town or city. Little city, yeah.
I would call it a big town, little city. Yeah, I would call Brockville a town, even though technically it is categorized as a city. Yeah. And I'd definitely call Kingston a city, because in comparison to Brockville...
Little city, though.
Yeah.
So, it's a beautiful place that's just surrounded by water, and I refuse to see any of its beauty.
Yep, but then, I get that.
Yeah, but then once I finally grew up a little, I was just really able to see, like, what a blessing that new beginning was. Just a blessing in disguise, because I made, like, some of the greatest new friends I could ever ask for, a.k.a. you.
Yes, when she first came over, just side note, this is a funny story. She first came over...
to your house?
To our house, okay. With my older brother, Nick, who is gay. I'm outing you, Nick. Just kidding.
We're in a closet right now.
Yeah, so. We're in a closet right now. Ironic. But Nick, we didn't know. We knew, but he hadn't come out at this time, I don't think. No. I think he'd come out to you guys, to his friends, but he hadn't come out to the family, I don't think. Because when he brought you around, we thought you were his girlfriend.
At the beginning?
At the very, very beginning.
Of our friendship, 100%. Yeah, Nick was not out of the closet.
Yeah, so we were like, oh my gosh, Nick finally has a girlfriend. She's perfect. We fell in love with you. We're like, we love her. Oh my gosh. And then we were a bit surprised in some ways. Like, oh, Nick didn't bring home a boy. Wow. But then eventually he came out to me and then it all made sense. Because he always had girlfriends and we loved all his girlfriends. I mean, girlfriends as in friends who are girls, but he brought the best people around. Like, still to this day, he's such good friends with all of you guys from high school, like Yasmin and everybody.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I interrupted you, but that's
really
a
good
cute
friends.
Story. Yeah. And we'd bring Amanda on all of our family trips and everything. The whole family fell in love with her. So for us, you moving, your new beginning was a huge blessing for our family because you just brought, like, everyone in my family loved you, which is a hard thing because we're such a hot-headed bunch of people.
No, that's so funny. I literally came on all your family vacations.
Yeah, and like, you forever will.
Funniest. It's true. Oh, yeah, forever.
Even though you're a single mother, Carlos is not going to the bathroom beside us when we're podcasting. Like, I am going
to whoop his
ass.
The closet is attached to the bathroom, if you guys are wondering.
I told him to be quiet. He is not going to the bathroom right beside us. I am so sorry, guys, if you heard my boyfriend pee or poo. He will be getting a talking to after this. No.
Anyways. So once I finally just accepted that new beginning and stopped denying it, I just was able to fall in love with your whole family and so many amazing things that just that change and new beginning brought to my life. So
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because if I'm not mistaken, you had a boyfriend when you... in Ottawa when you moved to Kingston.
Yeah, my first high school boyfriend. So that was horrible at the time. Again, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I have my first boyfriend and I'm moving cities. And another thing too, because I just refused to accept the fact that I had this whole new beginning, I wasn't able to meet cute new guys, anything like the list goes on and on. New friends... I was denying new relationships,
keeping yourself
I was
closed
so,
off.
So closed off. And again, I needed to experience that to learn. But I think sometimes if my mom and dad didn't divorce and I didn't move, maybe I'd still be in Ottawa, that town I never wanted to leave because I was just so afraid of a new beginning.
I think about that. My boyfriend is being so loud. I think about that all the time. If I had not taken that exchange, who would I be? And it's hard to even imagine. Like, there's nothing that will make you grow up faster than living in a brand new place on your own, having to make friends, having to figure out work. But you moved... Well, your partner's in the military.
Yeah.
So you had to move to several places because of the military, right? For posting. Yeah. So what's the difference between moving somewhere for work versus not having a choice? Like, was it just a very different process for you, knowing as an adult that this is an active decision you're making and it's going to benefit your careers and instead of just being dragged somewhere?
So again, I was 15, didn't want this to happen, so just... rejected any idea about a new beginning. But then once I finally accepted it, it became beautiful.
Okay, hold on. I'm pausing this. I need to go yell at my boyfriend. I'll be back. Hi, guys. We're back. Carlos has been scolded. He's now on a timeout. So Amanda was a bit confused about my very confusing question that made no sense, but she still wants to elaborate because she's thought a little bit about it during Carlos's timeout period. So share your thoughts, Amanda.
Well, Carlos actually saved me by being loud to let me think, you know, a little off air thinking.
Yes, which reflection time.
Have a sometimes a little better of a reflection. But anyways, so just really interesting when you a new beginning is coming your way and you want nothing to do with it, but very thankful that just forced me to grow up. And I even realized it once I got so close with Sarah and her whole family. I pretty much was like, well, what a waste of a couple years of me. I could have had so many more memories with you guys earlier on, but I was just this grumpy, miserable girl who's like, I want to be with my old friends.
That's natural, though. You shouldn't be too hard on yourself about that. Like,
but thankfully, good things came out of it. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, sometimes if this new beginning is just right in front of your face, even if you weren't asking for it, it could be the best thing that's ever happened to you. Mm-hmm. And then I think it just led to me creating a bunch of new beginnings for myself. Like, I worked and lived in Halifax for a bit. So then just once I was a young adult, I was like, okay, like, you know what? New beginnings, like, they're amazing and they're exciting. And it's how you meet more great people and mm-hmm. learn just other ways of life, which you might realize actually suit you better.
Yes. And
than if you never tried those things.
It's sort of what I mentioned about ripping off the Band-Aid. The first time you do anything like that, whether it be a big career change or your first time moving out of the house or moving to a different country, it's terrifying and it's going to be clumsy and awkward and difficult. But like you said, the more times you do that and you see yourself succeed and grow, you almost go chasing those opportunities.
Exactly.
You keep yourself way more open to the possibility of, hey, if this career pops up in this city, I'm going. And
because it could be the best thing that's ever happened to me.
And luckily, you and I both have careers where it's relatively flexible and we can bounce around to different cities and try different things. So especially when you're, I know it's cliche, but while you're young and relatively unattached, like, we don't have kids or anything like that, this is the time to explore.
When you're 20-something years old.
Yeah.
100%.
And I talk to so many people. Do you have people in your life who say to you, I can never do what you did. I don't know how you do that. Me too. And I just say, no, but you could. And they're like, no, I just don't have it in me. I'm like, well, you do. And I'm not saying you have to, but there was definitely points in life where I thought, I don't have that in me. But you're way stronger than you give yourself credit for, and people are way more resilient than they give themselves credit for, and that's what I've learned. I think back to some things that I survived, especially when I was on my own, just some heartbreaks and things like that, and I can't believe I pushed through that and I kept going. I'm really it gives you a lot of pride in the life you've lived, and you have stories to tell and you have memories to cherish instead of just sitting in the same four walls. Obviously that's kind of metaphorically, but I just am all about storytelling, obviously, hence why I wanted to start a podcast and why I love writing. So for me, I always sort of view my life as a story. And
A
new chapter. And I want mm-hmm. to have a great story. I want to have a New York Times best-selling novel story. I don't want to have some boring, oh yeah, there's this book I'm reading right now, and there's some line about so many of these people live and die in the same 10-meter plot or something. And this was set back in the 1700s when people didn't do what we're doing right now. But I just didn't want that for myself. I wanted romances and travel and career and just everything. And it's a lot to take on and it's overwhelming, but I'm so proud of the life I lived. And I love telling people stories because I have good stories to tell, because I put myself out there and opened myself up to all the wonderful, chaotic nature of the world. Now,
absolutely.
What about new beginnings with relationships? We can talk about that. Like, the starting points of a relationship.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, again, like, we're both in a relationship and we're very happy. The beginning of a relationship, often the honeymoon phase, which there's so many movies on and everything like that where mm-hmm. you just can't get enough of each other and you're so excited for that butterfly new beginning feeling. I find sometimes, I'm not speaking for myself, but just I've seen a lot of people will search for that new beginning doesn't, you know?
Again and again and again.
Exactly. Just because it's such a special time in a relationship. Whereas, like, 5 years down the road, for example, like, there's nothing new anymore.
I've never made it that far. I'm a honeymoon chaser. That's what that person should be called. But I don't even look for relationships. I kind of just tumble into them. I actually quite enjoy being single, but see, it's funny how you say for most people the first few months are the easiest. For me, I find that they're the hardest.
That's funny.
And it takes a lot for me to get through the first 3 or 4 months because I'm just putting up test after test after obstacle, like just testing their legitimacy, their authenticity. And my boyfriend now will attest to that. Like, I did not make it easy for him the first few months, and we bickered a lot in the first few months because he was just sort of...
You wanted to see if he'd pass the test.
Yeah, because, you know, you've been... I've been hurt a few times. Every girl's been hurt a few times. Every guy's been hurt a few times. Mm-hmm. But you just sort of put up walls at a certain point, and you don't really take people seriously. And that's not the right way to go about it. I think everyone should just get a fresh slate. But I found the first 6 months or so very stressful and very taxing. And then once that trust was established of, like, okay, this person's really into me and really down to do this, and I felt the same way, then I was able to relax and giggle and enjoy. And so it was sort of reversed.
So for you, the new beginning was the scariest part.
Yes, but only with relationships. And it's so funny. I've talked about that. It's, and really, I think, I mean, not to play the divorce card, but I do think a lot of that comes from my parents' separation. I was only 14, and just mm-hmm. to see a really healthy, happy relationship kind of crumble, it does obviously have an effect.
Sounded like a fable, like a nice, long-lasting, happy relationship.
Yeah, it does have an effect on a young, impressionable, romantic girl. Like, I am the biggest hopeless romantic ever. My Uncle Brian said, hey, Uncle Brian, if you're listening, mm-hmm. he said not to use the term hopeless romantic because it's kind of negative.
Well, hopeless.
So he said
there's
to use,
no hope.
He said to say romantic soul.
I love that.
And I like that a lot more. So,
you are a romantic soul.
What is he doing now? I think he's making
midnight
a coffee.
Snack.
I'm...
Oh, that is the loudest coffee machine.
No. Oh, he's locking the door. Oh. Carlo.
He's left the house.
He can't take it anymore. He's left, finally. Don't come back.
No, okay. Peace.
Yes, Anyway, I'm rattled. So, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so I was talking about
my
parents' divorce. No. but, yeah, so basically I think for people like myself who have trust issues in relationships, it's not always fun and easy breezy going into a new relationship. It's actually quite stressful, and you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. Like, if this relationship doesn't work out, then that's another failure, and, you know... I wasn't necessarily the most go-with-the-flow type of person, but I am with everything else, with travel, with career, with friendships, with fashion. I'm super, whatever happens, happens. I'll try this, I'll try that. But with relationships, I was, you're either it or you're not, or this is going to work or it's not. And that's a tremendous amount of pressure to put on something that's just new and blossoming. So... that's, I think, why I never make it past the honeymoon stage, because I implode the relationship too early on. But somehow Carlos and I made it through that, so that's good. But new beginnings, yeah, they're usually really positive, but they can also be a bit scary.
Perspective. Like you said, scary. So a divorce, for example, since we've both witnessed it from our parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't imagine how horrible it is to go through a divorce.
Yeah.
But so that's where perspective just is plays such a huge role, because you can look at the end of this relationship and be like, okay, it's time for a new beginning, or you can just see it as literally a death.
Yeah.
And like
the end.
Yeah.
And give up on everything. And I think that goes for anything. If you get fired from your job, or
for sure.
your kid moves out of the house, it's just, for some people. And my dad preaches. My dad, he says, love you, Dad. You're the best. He says, you know, I don't really identify with a religion, but if I could identify with one, I think it'd be Buddhism. I'm like, oh,
yes.
You're so wicked. My dad's the best person ever. I'm going to have him on the pod at some point.
Steve is the best.
Steve's the best. And you too, Mom. Don't worry. But Yeah, the child of divorce. I'm like, you too, Mom. Don't worry.
I love you both equally.
What was I saying? Oh, yes, my dad. So he has this whole... He changed his whole life with this theory of non-attachment, which is a big Buddhist principle, but it's just that you should never integrate your entire worth or livelihood into someone else, because, or something else, whether it be a job or a relationship. You should never be like, you are my everything, I will not go on without you, because the nature of things,
what happens is, when it's gone,
yeah, the nature of life is to change, and things shift, and unfortunately people die and people move on, and I learned that, yeah, I learned that the hard way with my first relationship, thinking that it was the end all be all. And once that didn't work out, I literally felt like the walls caved in and I didn't know where to go from there. So that's just, I think, an important thing with new beginnings, to just be open to things shifting and changing and maybe not going exactly the way you predicted. Like, have positive manifestations. Amanda's looking at me right now. I can't tell what she's thinking. Have positive vibes. I'm not saying go in with crappy expectations, but just, at least for me, especially when you're younger, I romanticized everything going into it. Like, this is, I'm going to meet the most perfect guy and we're going to get married and I'm going to live in the best apartment and I'm going to have the best job. And when things don't happen that way right away, like within the first few months, you're like, damn it, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. So just give yourself time to manifest those dreams, but they might take time because it's, you have to start from the ground up and build your way into things.
Or they might present themselves in a way that you never even expected.
True.
And it can actually be better than your wildest dreams.
Yeah.
And I like how you can ask anyone, like, the simple question, what was a huge new beginning for you? And we'll think of these significant events in our life, aka for you moving to Europe, me just moving to multiple different cities throughout my life. But at the same time, it's really nice.
Mango's having a bad dream.
Pumpkin pie, you're okay.
Interruption after interruption.
Yeah. What? The men in this house.
I know, the men in this house are wilding out. Come on, boys, get it together. No, Mango can't do anything wrong.
This is true. But yeah, I think it's also just really nice to remember that every single day is a new beginning in the best way, too.
Sorry, guys, I'm drinking a gin and tonic. I need a drink after this. This is the most stressful podcast. We've only done two, and this is stressful. But it's fun. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. I feel like we're just rambling on. Okay.
Which is
It's just
good.
Such a broad topic. I guess you could talk about anything.
Anything. But that's what, like, I was just saying, like, literally every single day is a new beginning if you want it to be.
That should be on one of those posters that you stick up on your wall at your grandma's house.
It should be.
Do you know those inspirational thing? There's like those inspirational
cheesy... Oh, there's literally one in my closet right
okay,
now.
Okay, but a coaster is cute. It's, I'm sorry to people who have this, but please take this as just maybe the hard truth that someone has wanted to tell you, and I'll just be the one to tell you. If you have a large ass poster or decoration on your wall that's like live, laugh, love, read, travel, enjoy, kiss, sleep, like, get rid of it. Like, that is so 2010. Nobody has time to read all of that.
I love it. I don't have any, but I see them.
I hate them. They're tacky.
They make me happy.
Okay.
I'm like,
well, I guess you have two sides of the coin here. So leave a comment. Leave a 5-star review if you agree with Amanda, and a 5-star review if you agree with me.
Okay, there's some that are overboard.
But some people's houses have, like, 12 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, you feel like...
You don't need 12.
It just, agreed. Those are the type of gifts that I swear a daughter's random boyfriend would get his potential mother-in-law for Christmas. And it's just so...
Absolutely.
It's so meaningless. Like, it really doesn't mean anything.
Absolutely.
But he's like, yeah, this is a nice message. Cool. And he gives... And she's like... I love it.
It says love.
It's so true. Yes. Like, live, love, laugh. I think that's where it started, the whole live, love, laugh thing. And then it just went on and got longer and longer and longer. Or like those Lululemon bags. I actually do like the Lululemon bags with all the...
They have so many cute quotes.
Those are different for some reason. Those don't bother me because they have cute little facts on them about how much water you should drink and stuff
floss.
Like that. It's
I'm
like
all about flossing.
It's the ones that are saying a lot without saying anything meaningful. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't mind if you have a really cool quote on your wall if it's going to make me actually stop and think. But if it's just random words put together with a little flower drawing, I'm going to judge you a little bit because that is so 2010. Like, we need to evolve.
There's but probably that's just a my lot opinion. Of tattoos.
Guys, like tattoos, I don't unfollow us if you did, if you don't agree. It's just my opinion. I'm trying to help you.
That's so funny.
I guess you could talk about new beginnings with your body, like new haircuts or new, like if you had a baby.
That's true.
Not that either of us has had a baby, but that could be a brand new beginning, or after a surgery and someone can all of a sudden walk again or whatever it is. That's a new beginning. It's amazing how your body can rehabilitate and restore itself.
Like when I got my braces off.
We're talking about
a new woman.
We're like talking about giving birth and being able to walk again, and Amanda's like,
I'm like, I get it. My braces.
The trauma was real.
I was a whole new girl.
But hey, no. When I cut my hair
big
short,
or small, yeah.
Yeah, when I cut my hair short for the first time in my entire life, I always was one of those girls who's like, my hair's my security blanket.
I swear most girls are, myself included.
I know, I'm making fun of you with love because I was that girl, but that...
Me too.
Yeah, I was that girl, and I cut it off, and oh my gosh, it changed everything. I was way more just of a bad bitch, like this whole new energy took over me, and I really made a lot of big life steps after that. It just, I think about all the things.
Beginning,
I got a car. I moved out here.
Like, I'm a
I started my podcast. Yeah, because I'm an edgy bitch now with short hair.
Oh, you say the word. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's explicit, actually. Guys, it's explicit up in here. But that is obviously a small, fresh beginning or new beginning. But it can be impactful in the long run. Or even, let's say you have a huge insecurity, like you have a snaggle tooth or something that drives you nuts, and then you get it fixed. The day
new
after
beginning.
You get that fixed, your life will change. Just
yeah,
it will
so true.
Reverberate into all the different parts of your life, how you carry yourself, how you operate. So appreciate those little new beginnings just as much as the big ones.
Exactly.
Yeah, and celebrate them. Like, hey guys, I'm having a party because I got a new tattoo and I want to show it off. So whoever wants to come celebrate, come celebrate. Like, we might as well celebrate growth and transformation because that's all we really have in this life that's worth celebrating.
Yeah, and that's the only thing in this life that, again, like, is a constant. Mm-hmm. Like, changes forever. So we might as well welcome it with open arms.
Okay, so I have an interesting question to wrap this up for.
Ooh.
Our final question. What do you think is your next big new beginning? And then I'll answer mine, although...
Well, I definitely this podcast.
True!
But other than this...
True.
Because that's
I guess,
my most
well, that can be
answer.
Yours.
Yeah, this podcast.
This is a new beginning for me, although this is something that just feels so right. I feel like I've been doing it forever.
Yeah, you're like, it's not even new and it's not a beginning. It's just destiny.
It's just destiny. No, I guess I would say this. I think I'm really going to do my most to just chase some career goals this next year of my life. I've been talking about these things for ages, and now I'm just actually going to do my best to get them out into the ether. But I'd love to, now that I'm out here, I'm searching for jobs. So potentially my next job could be a really good fresh start. I could learn some new skills and meet some new people and expand my horizons a little bit. So looking forward to that. But other than that, I don't know. We're both not...
But again, you just moved across the country.
Okay, yeah, that's
so
true.
We're in the
I'm already looking
of
for
a
my
new
next
beginning.
I'm already
yeah.
looking for my next new beginning, and
that's
I haven't
funny.
Even finished this
I,
one.
Oh yeah, my mind's been racing ever since you asked the question. I'm like, what else do I want?
Well, I was gonna
a
say
new beginning
babies.
For? Oh my gosh.
No.
That'd be crazy.
Not quite yet, but maybe one day soon. Can you imagine us prego on the pod? That would be so cute.
It has to be at the same time.
Our little babies could hear our voices. They'd be kicking in our bellies.
That's fun. I feel like that for sure is a reality one day.
Absolutely.
But we'll have a few more new
beginnings. Yeah, it's only our second podcast, guys.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, we've been going for a decent amount of time, so why don't we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Why don't you do the plug?
Oh my gosh, I'm not ready yet.
Okay, she's not ready. We'll work her up to it. So...
You can't put me
just,
on the spot like
okay,
that.
I know. So, like I said, we're just starting off. I know you'd never be able to tell because we're just so comfortable on here. But, yeah, this is our second episode, and We went, so we didn't realize, oh, I wanted to talk about this quickly, that there's about 6,000 other podcasts called 20-somethings. I didn't really realize that. We just sort of picked the name at the dinner table. We're like, that's cute. It spoke to us. And I did check.
And it spoke to everyone else in the world.
Since yeah. So it turns out we're not creative or
unique
at all. We're just nope. followers.
Yeah.
But there's so many, and we were at the very, very bottom when Amanda went to check yesterday when I first put up the episode. And then by today, so a day later, we were the number one podcast called 20-somethings. And honestly, that might not seem like a lot, but given the fact that there's like 6,000 podcasts named 20-somethings.
And that's, we are over the moon.
We are over the moon. And that's thanks to our friends and family and maybe random people who listened. So we really want to just keep growing. We are really passionate about this and enjoying every part of it. So help us out. Give us a little follow. So you can just click the plus sign. I mean, at least this is for Apple Podcasts. You can click the plus sign up at the top to follow us. You could leave a rating or a review. You could follow us on Instagram at 20.somethings.podcast. All the other good ones were taken, as I mentioned, because there's so many podcasts with this title. You can follow me at Sarah Birch. You can follow Mango at mango.the.golden.boy. And that's about it. Anything else you want to say?
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes.
But, you killed that, Sarah.
Thank you. I'm getting better at it. Okay. Bye. Have a great week.
Bye, guys.